You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood in for Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, November 24th. Glad you could join us today. We're going to get to the economic implications of all that shopping that's happening this weekend a little later in the show. First, let's look back at the big economic stories of the week with Neela Richardson, chief economist at Redfin. Hi, Neela.
Hi, Molly.
Hi. So this is being described as a make or break week for the GOP tax plan. There was a Business Insider story this week that said it had gotten a triple whammy of bad reviews, cuts that would primarily benefit the rich. 50% of Americans will see tax increases by 2027. Economists agree it'll explode the debt and the deficit. What is up here?
And you know what's remarkable about all those critiques is that many of them just fall right within the GOP, let alone what's happening, you know, outside the GOP with the Democrats and the American people. Right. So it's a once in a generation tax overhaul. And yet it's not living up to that right now. We still have many concerns about this tax plan. And part of the reason is it wasn't widely shared or shopped. This is something that has a self-imposed deadline. The Senate and the House want to get a GOP tax plan passed by the end of the year. And so there were no big studies. There was no PRing or marketing of this plan. It was a wholesale shift without any kind of sales pitch. And whenever you do that, when you're trying to make a big change, you do so at your own risk because you can't bring the American people along with you to the final plan.
Well, and it's ironic because the way that you have described that sounds like the way that Republicans for years described the Obamacare process. And now this tax bill would itself repeal the individual mandate and kind of come at Obamacare from a sort of a side door, right?
Right. One of the big things about the tax plan is it doesn't pay for itself. It adds $1.4 trillion less in revenue. It adds to the federal deficit. And they have to figure out ways to shrink those numbers to get more revenue in the door. And one way to do so is by attacking their least favorite Obama-era policy, which is Obamacare. Fewer people will be insured if the individual mandate is eliminated, and that helps pay for the tax cut. For a GOP senator or a House Republican, it might be a win-win, but there are some who disagree because it means that fewer people will have health insurance.
Right. And if they're feeling vulnerable, that's an easy place to get attacked. Here's an interesting tidbit from a New York Times article this week that came up yesterday on Thanksgiving. It says that at a Wall Street Journal conference, Gary Cohn asked the audience of CEOs how many of them would invest more if the tax cut were passed. Mm-hmm. And he said that only a few, this article notes, only a few attendees raised their hands. And he reportedly asked, why aren't the other hands up? Now, this is the central promise that if businesses get tax cuts, they'll invest this money. Economists have disagreed. Where do you fall on this?
You know, there's no way that the federal government, and it's not within this plan, can force companies to invest more in either infrastructure or human capital. That is not within the boundary lines of this tax policy. It does give corporations a tax cut, and then it says, do with it what you will. Well, we know that corporate profits have been high, and they still haven't, even though they have cash on hand, they haven't been investing and making those big capital investments. So what is it likely that they'll do? I mean, you don't have to be an economist to predict. They'll likely keep doing what they've been doing, which is to buy back shares and give dividends. Likely to continue if they receive this kind of tax cut.
Neela, we've got about 30, 40 seconds left. Let's pivot to Uber quickly. A story in the Wall Street Journal today reporting that new CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, was informed about this big data breach 2 weeks after he came into the position in September and then waited to inform consumers. How bad does this look for Uber?
You know, the ushering of a new CEO was supposed to bring in a clean slate, and that slate is now really, really muddy. It's not just a data breach. It was a cover-up and a payment to the hackers themselves, which makes you wonder about the future of Uber and the future of their ability to secure customer data. So it's not a great bit of news for Uber, and it means that the new CEO comes into that job with quite a bit of baggage.
Neela Richardson from Redfin, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.